I raised a question, and I think I might have an answer to the question. Again, I thought about it overnight a little bit. We were talking about the esrog tree, and we talked about citrus farming in general, and we mentioned that the esrog is actually different than all other citrus fruits in halacha because it's considered gedalim, not al rov mayim, meaning on rainwater alone, but gedalim al kol mayim, that you actually have to irrigate and make sure to bring water to the esrog, otherwise it's not going to survive. That puts it in a different halacha category because you're effectively treating it less like a pri and more like a yerek. So there's a machlokas that we saw between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Gamliel, how exactly we should look at the esrog lehalacha. Does it have all the status of a pri? That's the view of the Rabbi Eliezer, that we don't treat it any differently than a pri. And just like when it comes to any fruit, we'll just use the term fruit as a translation for pri, for lack of a better term, you always follow chanata, you always follow the blossoming point as opposed to lakita when you pick it off the tree. Okay, you always follow chanata, and that's an important point, and that maintains from orla, for netzer avai, that maintains for shavias, and that equally maintains for meiser. So Gamliel says no. He says for the first three on that list, when it comes to determining the age of the tree, is it within the first 3 years, the first 4 years? Yeah, sure, you treat it like a pri, you treat it like a regular fruit, and you follow chanata. So if it blossoms in the third year, it's considered a fruit of the third year, irrespective of when you pick it. And that's true for shavias as well, just for determining, does this happen to have been born, so to speak, as a fruit in the seventh year or not? But something that requires human agency, which is maisros, hafrashas truma and maiser, you actually have to separate it out. So there, in that area, you actually treat it not like a pri, like a yerek, and it's basar lakita. That is to say that if you pick it in the fourth year, even though it sprouted in the third year, so again, ledin orla, it's considered a third-year fruit, ledin meiser, it's considered a fourth-year fruit. So he said, why should meiser be the odd, you know, one out on the list? Why exactly was Ringel Miel Mechalik? It's one thing to say that you have to treat it like a hybrid between a fruit and a vegetable. I understand that very well. But why would you draw the line in terms of meiser? So that was the question I ended off with yesterday. And said if somebody has an answer, they might as well suggest it. So I guess I'm applying that to myself. So I was thinking about it a little bit more, and it seems to me that the answer may very well be straightforward. Right, when it comes to Orla and Revai and Shavias, you're not really saying anything about human agency. All you're saying is that this fruit was born in this year. It has nothing to do with, you know, people. But when it comes to Meiser, right, of course, you have to do something. You have to separate out the fruits. And so there, you know, when it comes to meiser, you might actually look to what exactly humans did during this process. And again, it didn't only grow on the rainwater, it grew on irrigated water as well. And so meiseros is just very different than the other three items on the list in terms of revai and orla and shavias, which are just objective facts about the fruit, but nothing that a human would have to do the fruit. So maybe that one area, meiseros, where a human has to do something, you know, with the fruit, that's the area where we take into account, it wasn't only rainwater, but you used irrigation water as well. So this theory, I think, might be confirmed by something I observed in the Rambam. I noted yesterday that I think the Rambam changed his view over this topic. If you look carefully in the Parash HaMishnayos, the Rambam says, it's not only for maestros that you treat it as a vegetable, but you treat it as a vegetable for shvius. And then if you look in the Mishnah Torah, he seems to have dropped that point. And he says, you know, you only treat it as a vegetable for purposes of maestros. So why exactly did the Rambam, you know, in his youth and his adolescence, toy with the idea that for purposes of shvius, of treating this as a fruit of the seventh year, there you'll treat it as a yerek as well, and you'll follow not chanata, the sprouting point, but lakita, the point where you pick it off the esrog tree. So I think because shvius has two elements to it. One of them is just, was this, you know, did this sprout in the seventh year? But then there is a human element to it as well, just like meiser, where you have to separate out the meiser, so you have to physically do something. So shavias, there's a din where you physically have to get involved, and that's called the din of biur, right? Because as the pasuk says, "Lim tem techav l'chaya asher be'artzecha tiachol svuas alechol," that you can only hold on to the shavias fruits as long as the fruits are available in the fields. But once they're no longer available in the fields, you actually have to do biur. You have to get rid of those fruits. So it would appear that shavias has a human element as well. And where there's a human element, you go back to, again, the history of this tree, where you were involved in making sure that the esrogim would go by irrigating water. Now, I think the Rambam turned his back on that later in his life because he says the din of biur is really just a subsidiary of, you know, whether or not objectively it's in the seventh year. No different than netzer avai. If it's objectively in the fourth year, then you would have a halacha of bringing it to Yerushalayim. So the din of biur isn't really, the primary din. It's a secondary din. So that's a little bit of a theory as I have as to why the Rambam would have reversed his position. But I have some degree of confidence in the idea that maisros is different, right? Because maisros is all about human activity, separating out a tenth, and that would correspond to the human activity, which was involved in irrigating so that you would be able to have this esrog to begin with, in which case there'd be good reason to take Rabbi Gamliel's position that Orla, Revai, and Shavias would be on one side, Maisros would be on the other side.